We're on campus
and we're online.
And we're online.
University
Radio
Nottingham.
Hello and welcome to the news at 5. We will be starting with our local stories to keep you updated with local news, national news and international.
So the big news story today for Nottingham residents is that Nottingham City Transport's above inflation fare increase starts this weekend. The new bus fares will be introduced from Sunday the 28th of May as the city's largest transport operator continues to face significant increases of cost, which has resulted in an operating loss in the financial year. The rise will be by 6.9%, which was, when announced, lower than the inflation rate at the time of 10.1%. However, inflation is now at 8.6%. Nottingham City Transport says it will honour the government's extension of the £2 bus fare cap, but only until the end of July, despite current offerings from the government being until October time. Once the end of July happens, a single will go up from £2 to £2.80. A comment from the managing director said, "We've all had to contend with the cost of living situation, which is affecting businesses just as much as households. The government has been very understanding and provided financial support since lockdown, but even with that support, Nottingham City Transport has made a loss, and clearly that isn't sustainable going forward." New prices going forward will be available on the website.
Now moving on to our national story, British Cycling is banning transgender women from competing in female category. British Cycling is to ban transgender women from the female category of its competitions following a 9-month review and consultation. Under a new participation policy that the governing body said was predicated on fairness, such athletes will compete in an open category with men. Females races will be for those whose sex was assigned female at birth. The changes will prevent riders such as Emily Bridges potentially being part of the British women's team. Last year, Bridges, the country's highest profile transgender cyclist, was stopped from competing in her first elite women's race by the UCI, Cycling's World Federation, despite meeting the rules at the time. Bridges reacted to the announcement with a statement on social media calling the change a violent act by a failed organisation that was controlling the conversation on transgender inclusion. She added that the racing scene was dying under its watch and that British Cycling was engaged in culture wars. British Cycling's policy had allowed transgender women to take part in elite female events if they met testosterone-based regulations. But with the governing body at the heart of the debate over balancing inclusion with fairness, its regulations were suspended amid mounting controversy about Bridges and a review was launched.
In our international story for today, US President Joe Biden and Republican House Leader Kevin McCarthy are reportedly closing in on a deal to raise the country's $31.4 trillion debt limit. This is amid panic that America could enter a default on its debt on June the 1st, which would be unprecedented and has never happened in the country's entire history. The consequences of such a default would be pretty severe, according to several economists, potentially risking a major global financial crisis. Republicans have accused Biden of reckless spending and are demanding cuts to future borrowing in order to agree to raising the debt limit. Democrats, however, accuse Republicans of using this issue as a political bargaining chip in order to sabotage Biden's legislative agenda.
This has been the News at 5. Thank you for listening.
You're listening to The Pulse on University Radio Nottingham.
Welcome back to The Pulse. We are now moving on to our national story, which is about the news that the British Cycling are planning to ban transgender women from competing in the female category in races. So the summary of this story is that after a 9-month review and consultation, British Cycling have announced that they are planning to implement this new policy based on making the races more fair for women who were born, well, assigned as female at birth, pretty much. And this can affect riders such as Emily Bridges, who was potentially going to be part of the British women's team. However, with this new policy in place, she may no longer be able to unless it is overturned. So this is going to be quite a deep discussion, I think. And to start off, I just want to say, do you agree with the implementation of this policy? What are your thoughts on it?
I mean, you know, as the athlete, you know, mentioned in the article says, you know, they are participating in data for this sort of to better inform the people who make the judgments on this sort of thing. You know, perhaps it highlights the fact that the data for this isn't necessarily all there. And, you know, as a preemptive measure, whilst, you know, it isn't a great measure because it does exclude people from sport, people who, you know, shouldn't be excluded from sport just because of you know, their gender identity, it certainly feels very much so like a preemptive measure. I mean, this isn't the first sport where this has happened. It's happened in rugby, in, I think, a lot of track events, in, you know, in triathlons and things like that. Like, this is not an unprecedented move from a sports organization to ban transgender athletes from competing in women's sections. And I hope, you know, that once data is better out there, that this sort of thing can be overturned, it can be looked at. I also think that the decision to sort of have them in an open category to have transgender athletes in an open category with men is also not great, because it, you know, and again, it reinforces that sort of divide between a transgender person and someone who is assigned female at birth. But sport is one of those things where everyone is competing somewhat equally from the start. You know, it is difficult to deny the differences post-puberty, which, you know, given the government's current stance on gender-affirming care, you know, is when a lot of people receive a lot of stuff like hormones, a lot of actual care for that sort of thing. You know, by that point, bone densities have changed, muscle growth is different. It's, you know, like, it's not entirely unreasonable to think, okay, let's put possibly a hold on this while we gather more information on it. But then again, at the same time, you know, like, sports is touted as, oh, everyone has an equal advantage. But that's also not true, because, you know, someone who is perhaps, I'm going to point at weightlifting here, just because, you know, that's one that's very obvious and clear. Like, someone can be very genetically well built to get to the position of weightlifting, and it's, you know, that individual, whilst they are probably incredibly skilled at their sport, is certainly different still from the vast majority of those assigned their gender at birth. And I think, you know, that's also something to consider looking at the other side of it.
Yeah, I have. I think it's a tough topic to have, because it really does put kind of questions of equality into play. Because the way I see it, as a female who was assigned female at birth, I very much get frustrated over the fact that no matter what I do when it comes to sport, I will not be on the level of a man who was assigned a man at birth. And it will always be difficult for me if I was, say, let's use this room, for example. Currently, we have two males and a female in the room, and there is no way that I would beat you guys in a race. Depending on your fitness levels. But say we're all at the same fitness level. We've all trained the exact same regime, the exact same eating habits, the exact same drinking habits. Because drinking alcohol can affect your fitness. I just like to say that from experience. And I think if we had the exact same variables in place, we all, like, everything I just listed there, I would lose, just because there are a lot of studies about how men are more biologically built for fitness, strength, and just being active in general. And that really irritates me. I will admit that. I do think it is unfair, of course, that trans women are being prevented from competing against their gender identity, pretty much. They're being forced to be put back in a category with a gender that they know they don't identify with. It feels very wrong, and in a way, I wouldn't say transphobic. It does, but something feels wrong about it. I am conflicted in that it also feels wrong to women to make them compete against someone who may be biologically male, because that does unfortunately put some trans women at an advantage when it comes to these competitions.
Yeah, I think you both raised pretty important points on this, and I think, yeah, the difficulty when talking about something like this is it's always like regrettable that it sort of it feeds into this sort of, you know, wider culture war, this attack that happens, which is, you know, unfairly targeted at trans people a lot of the time. So it's difficult to, you know, take a sort of nuanced opinion without accidentally, you know, maybe straying too close to some more undesirable sort of viewpoints. But yeah, I think you've both said pretty important things, and I think what you said earlier, Connor, is about the data. I think that's definitely something that's very, very key here, because I don't think there would necessarily be an advantage in every sport necessarily. I think we haven't talked too much about hormones yet, but obviously the sort of biological advantage of being male is to quite a significant extent reduced by taking hormones for like 1 or 2 years. But the problem is, for a lot of sports, in a lot of studies, the data isn't really sure yet, or it's mixed. You know, some say that there is an advantage, some say that there isn't. So I think it really depends. I think this ban does come across as a little bit crude in the way that it was announced and implemented, and I think a lot of people are probably going to be celebrating it for definitely the wrong reasons. Certainly, I don't really think anyone should be celebrating it, but I think it is one of those areas where you probably do want to consider to some extent that, okay, even if there are, you know, hormones being taken, there might still be some physical attributes that can't fully change, or they take longer to change. So I do think that maybe this is a discussion we should still be having, but the way that they've gone about this now isn't necessarily going to be the right approach, because, you know, like we were saying, we don't know enough yet. So yeah, it's difficult to say.
I think possibly another point to sort of touch on is, you know, we see a lot of this sort of discussion focusing on trans women competing in sports that are, you know, involving women who are assigned female at birth. But this sort of discussion doesn't really come up as much for the other way around. We don't see nearly as many issues, which, you know, as we discussed with sort of the biological aspect, we don't see as many issues with transgender men competing in sports with men who were assigned male at birth. And it's you know, it's again this sort of difference again between sort of how men are treated versus how women are treated. It sort of can sort of also feed back into that, because I don't know about you guys, I don't know about any sports that you know, limit transgender men from competing in them. I could be wrong, there could be sports out there, but it's certainly not nearly as publicized as the other way around. And I think, you know, like, you know, there's all talk about, oh, transgender women have to ensure that their testosterone is beneath a certain level. That was a standard for a while of making sure hormones were down low, as we've mentioned. But again, it's interesting that there's not really as much of a discussion around transgender men competing in men's sports.
I think potentially the reason for that is I personally don't know many kind of very high up transgender male athletes out there, and that may be because of the biological aspect, in that even when they do transgender men do compete in male categories, they may not be getting to the elite levels that you would see in the Olympics and things like that. Whereas of course if you have the reverse of it with transgender women, they are in the news a lot more because they are getting to these more elite competitions. And again, that may just be because the news is focusing a lot more on transgender women, or it may be because there's not as many transgender men making it into the elite levels yet. And it is, I think we've established at this point, this is a very difficult conversation to have because it's concerning two very oppressed groups. And I think it's difficult to kind of work out how to share opinions on it without offending either of the groups. And I think all women, and that encompasses transgender women, should have the right to compete in sport the way that they feel reflects their gender identity the most. But I also think it is important that we continue to protect women's spaces and ensure that they are given a fair opportunity to compete as well, because that's why we have the separate categories. You don't have kind of mixed, well, you do in some sports actually, you do have mixed gender races, mixed gender competitions, but it's always males have been separated from women, and that wasn't out of spite or oppression or anything like that. It's to ensure that women can compete and actually enjoy competing and not just be oppressed further by, like, I don't know if you guys have ever been in a race and, like, it's always frustrating when you can never keep up with the people ahead of you. And I think for a lot of women, by having separate races, by having separate competitions, that's given them a chance to prove their power, prove, kind of empower themselves a lot more. So it is very tricky.
I think one potential, but I mean, I wouldn't hedge my bets on it, positive that could come out of this is maybe we'll start to look at different ways of, you know, segregating how we do, or maybe desegregating how we deal with these competitions. So yeah, maybe we would see more, not exactly open type categories, but we might see sort of different prerequisites and sorting mechanisms for how people compete against each other. And that would probably be a positive step because, yeah, like you were saying, Cora, it is that delicate balancing act of making sure that there aren't any unfair advantages in these spaces, you know, either men's or women's, and also giving people the right to feel, you know, included and affirmed. One point I have seen on it is that I think sometimes we do tend to conflate, you know, sex and gender a bit. I think sometimes we do forget that we should be promoting this idea, you know, that gender is a social thing. It is very much an identity thing. So we sometimes, you know, we let that overlap with sex a bit, and, you know, that leads us to forget that in some situations, like a few medical situations, a few physical situations, there are still, you know, factors that you have to consider when it comes to sex, but that doesn't detract from gender in any way. So I think that's something that there will probably continue to be more conversations about. No doubt some of them will not be, you know, productive at all. In fact, I probably see it getting a lot worse, unfortunately, before it gets better. It's sort of a difficult time right now, certainly, to be trans, despite, you know, more sort of legislation recognizing its existence and things, because, you know, they are sort of a frequent target in the media. But no, it'll be interesting to see, and I hope some sort of meaningful resolution can be reached.
I mean, you touched on sort of recognition and legislation there, and I think, you know, that is also another thing to point out, you know, is that a lot of these national competitions, you know, do set up athletes for international competitions. You know, this sets up athletes to compete against other nations in a sort of in an international way, which then the rules have to be decided on by an international committee, which may or may not involve countries who simply do not recognize transgender people as their identity. You know, it may come across that, you know, the there are countries involved in the decision making process that simply do not view trans women as women. And that, you know, possibly is something to consider as well when you come to rulemaking. You know, these national events do lead on to international events. You know, for the UK to have simultaneously sort of it could very easily run two separate events. You know, it could run a women's sort of what's the word I'm looking for? We could run a women's, for anyone that identifies as women, competition, and then a for international competition, people who are assigned female at birth. But again, that sort of kicks the can down the road, because you're always still going to get, you know, the same sort of thoughts of, well, I identify as this. This is how I feel. I do not associate with my gender at birth. I feel like I am, and this is what I am. Why can't I compete with other people? I do think, you know, trans people in sport is definitely going to be a long-term issue, as long as there are nations other than our own that don't view trans people as the gender they identify with.
Definitely, I agree with kind of what both you have brought up there, and I think it is important that we start having these open conversations, as awkward and difficult as they can be at times. And I think particularly, Connor, with what you were saying, we're obviously from the viewpoint of a first world country that is progressing a lot socially, whereas there are countries worldwide that are still, people there are facing homophobia, transphobia, they are facing genocide, they are facing war. And we need to recognise the fact that sometimes the regulation bodies in our country are still having to be mindful of the ones in others. And I agree with Daniel as well in that we need to have open up discussions around the overlap between gender and sex, because I think most of our conversation about this topic has been actually about the biological implications of our sex rather than gender, and it's a gender is a social construct. So
you're listening to The Pulse on University Radio Nottingham.